Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections late night edition. Today's date is, and it is, it's a late night here, ladies and gentlemen. It is February 9th, 2007. It's a Friday. It is 3:02 a.m. in my hour. I'm calling from France, of course. I have on the line with me Barry Shamish, and I'm welcoming Mr. Shamish to the French Connection. And hello, Barry. Are you with me?
I am.
Barry, you know, we were talking privately for a short time ago, and it was interesting when we were discussing some of the historical events that have actually, in your view and in my view, we kind of parted company on several of the issues that we were discussing. So, but let's start from the beginning here. Your goal is to make sure that Israel's future is assured, and that's your hope. And is that incorrect in saying?
No, that's correct.
Yeah, Israel's inception, the idea of Israel started when, Barry, in your view?
Well, again, there's a mess going on with the Zionist movements, but what it comes down to is the Zionist movement that you don't necessarily know as we do. We call it the Bolshevik Zionists or the Labor Zionists or the left-wing Zionists. They took over a movement that had potential to be remarkably fair. And
from what group, Don? What group did it take over from?
It took over the entire movement.
Before that, it was the Zabotinsky.
No, the Sabbateans goes back to 1666.
No, the Sabbatinsky.
Jabotinsky.
Yes, Jabotinsky. Okay.
Jabotinsky was the revision Zionists. They were the ones who got the plans that the Bolshevik Zionists were actually gonna do. Look, if you don't know what the transfer agreement is,
I know what the transfer agreement is. Yeah.
Okay, it's a very nasty agreement cut with the Nazis in 1933.
Mm-hmm.
This was the Bolshevik Zionists, or what I call the Sabbatean Zionists, but I won't go into that now. The fact is, they cut a deal with the Germans. And the Germans banned all Jewish groups but labor Zionism. And in 1932, there were over 250 Jewish groups. In Germany, in 1934, there was one, and only one, and that was labor Zionism. And unfortunately, the transfer agreement said that the Germans make life impossible for the Jews. They come to Palestine where they spend
their money
again.
But wasn't there a deal that happened back in the 1920s that said that there was a turn on the Jews, that the Jews said that they were boycotting everything German in the world? That happened in the
In the 1930s. Obviously, it was only after Hitler came to power.
No. This was before that. This was
be an anti-German? Before Hitler came to power, why would there be an anti-German
The German Jews actually were encouraged to turn on Germany by people like Mr. Baruch and Morgenthau.
This is silly. This is just silly.
Why is it silly? No, tell me why it's silly.
Because it didn't happen. Now, if we could go back to the real history.
The history said it did.
Well, I don't believe it. And
you don't believe it.
Okay. I know my people very well. Mr. Baruch and all the people, excuse me, you'll have to excuse me, that's a cold. Mr. Baruch and all the people that were in the FDR administration, and by the way, that was a lot later than 1920, but nonetheless, they did rise, and these are the Sabbatean Jews. Some are, anyways, who made sure that the Holocaust took place. That's a different history. You're mixing things up. Now, let's go backwards. There was an agreement signed. It was by the Jewish Agency of Israel, of Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
that the Germans would make life so rotten that German Jews would come to Palestine. And they got about 80,000. I've heard the figure 60,000 to 80,000 came to Palestine. Then the British cut off the gates of Palestine and left all the Jews of Europe to face their own masters. It was awful. It was the world's most awful deal. The Jabotinsky group went to America and tried to organize riots, street protests, anything against the Nazis, but they were stopped dead by the people.
Yes, but
you are
there was an action back when the return, when after the signing of the Balfour documents and the return of these Jewish emissaries to Britain, when they got the signature of the United States and Mr. Wilson to sign on to entering World War One, the deal was, and this is in history now, the deal was that that America would provide the fighting force for the United States and these Jewish emissaries.
Oh, there was some Jewish crackpot who you can get on the internet.
But this is Morgenthau. No, these are part of the history books now.
No, they're not by the history books.
Yes,
entering
they are.
Entering World War One is what you're talking about.
That's right.
And you're claiming that the Jews made Germany enter, made the United States enter World War One to destroy Germany.
That's right.
Okay?
That's what happened.
There's one person who has ever made that claim, and he's Myron somebody from the 50s. I heard this. Look,
Myron Fagan. Myron Fagan.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the only time I've ever heard that claim. Now,
well, it's actually
real
written
history,
in history books,
I'll give you a real
Barry.
History.
No, but it's actually in the history books. I read this.
Yeah, you just turn up, you know, Morgenstern. I don't even know who.
No, Morgenthau.
Was.
Morgenthau.
Morgenthau.
His family still runs New York now.
And Brandeis. And
yes, Brandeis became a chief justice after Woodrow Wilson.
And all
Wilson
these people got the United States to join the war. Listen. If you want the real history, I'll give you the real history. And it's not a very nice history.
According to who, though?
What do you mean, according to? I'll tell you what.
The history according to
you
who, Barry?
You go on to Lulu.com.
Who's in charge of the site, Lulu?
Just hear me out. This is silly. We're getting nowhere. All you're doing is interrupting every word I say. Nobody can talk like that.
But no, I need to know what Lulu is before you can recommend
it. Lulu, you get my bookshop, Tice V, Labor, Zionism, and the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
You type in my name. My name is Chamish. Chamish.
Yep.
And you'll get all the books you need to prove whatever you want. But the fact of the matter
are
is...
Are they going to prove anything you want or anything that's factual?
That's a silly question. Okay, I mean these are silly questions. Now, if you
they're
want,
they're not
to
silly
talk,
questions. I mean, they need to be asked, Barry.
No, they don't really. Now, if you want to hear me talk, I'll tell you what happened, and I'll tell you who Theodor Herzl was and when things went wrong. But if you want to instill all these other things, we're not having a conversation.
I'm not instilling anything. I'm asking.
You're
you
not
to
letting
clarify.
Me be interviewed. You're just interrupting me. I've never had a worse interview. Now, if you want,
it's not
going to
get better from here.
Okay?
It won't get better from here, Barry.
You're not going to do this, are you?
No, it'll never get better from here. What you need to do, Barry, is you need to clarify your sources.
No, I don't.
Oh, you do. You do.
I've
this is part of what. This is part of what
computer.
Being. This is what's called. This is. See, Barry, listen. You have due diligence when you do research, Barry. This is what you need to do.
You're really going to lecture me on due diligence?
Yes, I am going to lecture you on.
Mistakes. Yeah, that site of yours is not due diligence. That site of yours is a mishmash of everything you could pick up that might look bad for Zionism. Listen, the knowledge I have isn't that good to begin with. But unfortunately, if it isn't revealed, we lose Israel. And this is a very difficult thing. Now, I exposed the Rabin assassination. Rabin was not murdered by the kid sitting in prison. He was murdered by Shimon Peres. And this is a very difficult fact for Jews to live with. But I proved it. And everyone knows in Israel now that I was right. All the polls say so. Now, when it comes to research, nobody does a better job, and you'll just have to accept it.
Who, than you do?
I'm telling you straight off.
You do the best research.
You can go look it up afterwards.
But you do the best research on what now? On what subject?
Listen, you can't do this. Now,
on what subject do you do the best research?
My subject is the modern history of Israel. Now, next, we go backwards. I have a nice little site where you decide. It's www.theberrychamishwebsite.com. Okay? It's a very nice site. And guess what? The Jews don't like it. So you can be very happy about that. Now, next, Why they don't like it is a very, very sad fact, but the Jews can be fooled into committing suicide. That Holocaust was done, and this is not something Jews want to hear, but without that transfer agreement, I doubt there could have been a Holocaust. Things were that bad that the Jewish agency signed with the Nazis a deal to get Jews to Palestine. Well, I got news for you. The Jews don't like hearing that. Now, that's what I do, and I'm hoping to get rid of these people running Israel, because now here's something that's going to make you ecstatic. There's not going to be an Israel run much longer. It's being slowly disintegrated.
And Barry, wait a minute. You see, you are mixing your own ideas about me and into your own rhetoric here. And that's certainly not fair. So what you really need to do is understand that I don't give a rat's patootie about whether you're Jewish or you're from Mars. The simple fact of the matter is, Barry, and whether you have a squeaky voice.
How did you know I was from Mars?
Yeah, well, you obviously discuss things as though you were, but you must understand.
No, I don't.
You do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you
now,
do,
look.
Because you try to frame arguments in terms of your own argument rather than in terms of the facts. Yes,
all
you
right,
do.
Let me go on. Thank you. Now, next.
You see, this is exactly what I'm talking
about.
This
is silly. It's not a radio interview. It's whatever it is. It's not a radio interview.
Well, what is
now,
it?
Now, next, we go backwards. I'm going to try and instill some history, whether it's appreciated. There was a major meeting in Jerusalem in 1898. And that meeting.
Yeah, but what happened before that? Let's go before that. What happened in Basel, Switzerland?
I want to talk about 1898.
But you can't say that unless you know what happened in Switzerland before that. Because it's moot in its importance unless you say that Theodore Herzl.
You don't know what went on in 1896 when Kaiser Wilhelm and Theodore Herzl met in Constantinople. Listen, stop this. This is stupid. I'm trying to make a point. All you do is interrupt. I mean, that's all you're doing so far. Now,
no, because you're not flowing here. Go ahead. Go ahead, Barry.
Thank you. In 1896, Kaiser Wilhelm and Theodor Herzl, father of Zionism, met in Constantinople. We don't know what was agreed to, but we know this. Kaiser Wilhelm came to Jerusalem in 1898. People didn't come to Jerusalem in 1898. There were no roads. There were bandits. It was dangerous. It wasn't a hospitable population. But Kaiser Wilhelm went there, and he consecrated three churches. The very, very important church was the Dormition Abbey. That is more than modeled after Charlemagne's very first cathedral in the city of Aachen. Now, this is German control over Jerusalem. They built it on the highest mountain in Jerusalem, Mount Zion. This is now an issue in Israel where the Germans, of course, want Mount Zion back and the Vatican is backing them. Nonetheless, there was someone else at that meeting, and this was the most important thing that happened, maybe to the world if it were understood. That someone else was Theodor Herzl. He also trekked up to Jerusalem without its robes and with its bandits to meet Kaiser Wilhelm. Now, you go into your internet. I know you love to do this. Why not? You look up Kaiser Wilhelm, Theodor Herzl, Jerusalem, 1898, and you'll find repeated over and over again that Kaiser Wilhelm rebuffed Herzl. Now, rebuffing could only mean one thing. Herzl wanted a state, and the Germans said no to him. And the reason why is because the Germans had to make war to get that state. They weren't prepared to do so, and they made an alliance with the Turks. Herzl returned to England, and he turned to the English. He said, we can't do it anymore. The German-Turkish alliance is too strong.
Why would they be making a state out of an area that...
That goes back to something that I haven't touched on. Okay, that's called the Sabbatean notion. There's a very bad side of Judaism in that we've been infiltrated.
That's Sabbatai Z, right?
Sabbatai Zvi.
Yes, and he ended up renouncing Judaism and becoming a Muslim because he was under threat of death.
Yes.
In front of the Ottoman king,
yes,
or the Ottoman caliph.
Sultan.
Yes, the Sultan. And in fact, but what he ended up doing was having his followers infiltrate the Ottoman Empire and become what we now know today as the New Turks or the Young Turks. And those Young Turks took over the country, and they still hold sway to this day.
That happened again from the meeting in Jerusalem.
Oh, it did, but you don't deny that the Turkey today is still held by the Young Turks.
I have no problem with that.
Yes, the Jews are still running Turkey.
Well, they are Muslims. They're in fact Sabbateans.
No, they're not. They're like the Muranos of southern America.
They've been mixed so many times over and over again. They're not Jews even genetically, basically. What you've got are Sabbateans.
Hmm.
Now, the Sabbateans started in 1666. When Shapitzvi declared a new Messiah had arrived, and he used these biblical dates, June 18, 1666, which leads me to believe that only the Vatican had the power and influence to spread his name worldwide, and also use these Christian imagery for his Messiah, for the new Messiah.
So it's the Vatican that did that.
Pardon me?
It's the Vatican that took over Turkey.
There's a combination here, and I'll get to that.
Uh-huh.
And I will get to that logically.
Uh-huh.
The Sabbateans, you're right, most of Judaism after, don't forget, more than half the Jews of the world accepted him as the new Messiah. And his tenets called for the opposite of the Torah being true. That is, do not kill became kill, if you can believe this. And the early Zionists, the labor Zionists, the Bolshevik Zionists to Israel had just a ball with wife swapping and all kinds of Sabbatean tenets. That's what these German Jews were turned into. Now, the other side of it was...
I thought that was Talmudic. I thought that was from the
Talmudic. And it's not Talmudic. What I'm just describing, it's the last thing from Talmudic. It's the opposite of the Talmud.
Oh,
now,
okay.
What you've got right now is a Shabtaitsvi who is being forced by the Sultan of Turkey to accept Islam or he's going to be beheaded. He decides to accept Islam, but one cult, the Donma, decided that was a secret message from Shabtaitsvi that we must convert. So they started converting to Islam, and now I'm jumping way ahead because then came in Europe Jacob Frank, who was the Sabbatean from... I'm not going to jump ahead. I'm going to tell you. Jacob Frank in 1785 was the Sabbatean from Poland. He was converting Jews by the thousands into Catholicism. They became spies all over Europe. Well, he had a meeting, finally, in Frankfurt, Germany, which is the capital of conspiracy, at the home of Mayor Amschel Rothschild. Now, another member was at that meeting, but he wasn't... Well, he was Adam Weishaupt, who was the Jesuit chief of the Illuminati. Now,
no,
the Illuminati was a real organization.
What I understand, I'm going to interject here for a moment.
What
my research shows me was that the Illuminati was formed in the opposite direction because Weishaupt on his own had no financial strength, but the monies that came from the Rothschild fortune
that
in the other direction.
That was afterwards. Don't mix it up again. Okay, backwards.
Don't mix it up.
The Illuminati had one purpose, that was to destroy the Protestant Reformation. The Pope was going crazy. It was spreading everywhere. That was what the Illuminati was going to do, go into the Protestant nations and absolutely destroy their structures. Family, patriotism, nationalism, religion, everything that kept these countries together were going to be under attack. That is the Illuminati. Now, there was a meeting between Jacob Frank, who is the new Messiah of the Jews, the European Shabtaitsvi. He believes that the real Messiah is Shabtaitsvi. Now, somehow or another, Adam Weishaupt got along with this guy enough. They both turned to Mayor Amschel Rothschild and offered themselves as spies. Now, Rothschild did not want anything more than control of the world's money. He was a visionary. He saw a way with enough spies entering the courts of Europe that he could get advance information and get money. That's what he was interested in. To be to get his way, Rothschild accepted the Sabbatianism business, and he also accepted the Illuminati business. This is the conspiracy that literally controls the world and has been for almost 250 years. Now, we're talking about a Catholic-Jewish conspiracy, if you want to look at it that way. But the fact is that Jacob Frankus were not Jews by them. They were now converting quite openly to Catholicism, and they had abandoned Judaism.
Yeah, but Barry, wait. We have to backtrack for one moment here, because see, look, for somebody like myself who's not religious at all, and for other people who have moved themselves into the modern world, this becomes offensive, and I'll tell you why it's offensive.
Well, it's history, so it doesn't matter.
No, it's not, because it's being played out in our modern on our modern television screens in front of us.
Sabbatian movement?
No, the result of it all.
I don't know.
Every day.
I'm trying to give history. I don't know.
Wait. Let me tell you how sickening it is, Barry. Let me tell you. You've got 5 million people living in Israel. There are 5 million people living in Boston. Wait a minute. There are 5 million people. Wait, Barry, you have to.
Jews.
I gave you a chance to speak, so let me speak, please.
You have 7.9 million people living in Israel, of which 6 million approximately are Jews.
Okay, so you got 6 million Jews living in Israel. In metropolitan Boston, you have the same number. And Israel is on the front page of everybody's newspaper every day.
Get it off. Who wants it there?
I don't want it there, and I'm
sick
of it.
I don't want it there.
Wait a minute. Not only are we having to read this stuff that goes on there, we're having to finance it. We're sending our money there.
Your money. Who's asking for it?
Well, wait. I'm not asking for it.
So?
But the APEC is stealing it from my country.
Wait a minute.
They're sending $2.6 billion plus $10 billion worth of unrepayable loans per year, plus everything else.
You don't
else.
Think there's a price tag attached to this? You actually believe this is free? I'm trying to explain something to you.
No, there's nothing free, Barry. There's nothing free, Barry.
You won't have to worry anymore. There won't be any more Israel to take your money, probably in the next missile war, which will probably be this spring or summer. And all of that is finished, and you won't have to worry anymore.
Glory be.
I'm glad you're happy.
Glory be.
Unfortunately, you don't have to attack Zionism. People far, far more powerful than you have decided that Israel goes. And those people, unfortunately, are the people I was talking about before.
No, you weren't talking about them because, Barry, wait a minute. You have an idea that your history is the only one that is going to be reckoned with in this.
What?
You see, when I discussed with you earlier about some of these facts, some of the Khazarian facts that I know
are
true.
Facts.
They are facts.
Why aren't they facts? It's standard anti-Semitism.
That's nonsense. That is absolute nonsense.
No, it's not nonsense. It's a fact.
It is nonsense.
I knew the author. He wrote a beautiful book on the kibbutzim, and I interviewed him. He was a very, very proud Israeli who lived in London.
Who?
Who wrote The 13th Tribe?
Arthur Kessler.
Where do you think he was from?
So why did he write a book about where the origins? Where did he write? Why did he write a book about the origins?
Semites worldwide took it. If Arthur Kessler was alive today, he would not be happy. There was a tribe, big deal. The royal family converted to Judaism. They did not move en masse to Europe. There's not one Turkish word in Yiddish. Not a one. And if you think the Jews didn't know where they were, and if you don't think that the Jews knew where they were in every little town in Russia,
that is not what history proves, Barry.
No, you're on the wrong side of these facts.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
It absolutely does not.
You're on the wrong side of these facts. Believe in the Khazarians. Okay, go ahead. Like, I could care less. I got real issues here. How do you explain
Max Warburg spending his entire multi-billion-dollar fortune on the buildup of German factories before World War I? I mean, two.
if he in fact did that,
he did do that. I have proof of that.
Warburg involvement from the Sabbatean side, and it's all over again, but you're not hearing this out. The Rothschilds were promoting a very different agenda. And you keep talking like Warburg was a Jew when he wasn't.
He's Jewish.
Look at his sons and daughters. Find out how many Jews are
there. They're all Jews now. It's like the Schiff family.
No, the Schiff family are not Jews anymore. Well, one Schiff's grandson is married to Al Gore. Now listen, either you hear this out, I mean, this is ridiculous. John Jacob Schiff has a grandson married to Al Gore's daughter. Yeah, he's real Jewish.
Listen, what does that have to do with anything?
He's not Jewish. They let it slip. They believe in this Sabbateanism. And we're talking two different languages here. Listen, if you want to attack Jews, you have to look at this business with the Sabbateans. Now, let me explain once again who is going to destroy modern Israel. One is the Vatican Illuminati Jesuit gang, and the second are the Sabbateans, and that's the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, if you must know how it works, what happens very often with the CFR is they promote someone to be like vice president or president, and someone does research on him. And lo and behold, what do we discover? John Kerry, his father's a Jew and he didn't know it. And Madeleine Albright didn't know that she was raised by her Jewish family.
And Hillary Clinton's grandmother was Jewish?
She didn't say that. Don't interrupt when it's not right.
She said that.
It's not right to say that. It's irrelevant right now.
But she
it's
said it in front of a Jewish crowd in Israel.
Shit.
It was reported on the arrest.
Over and over. That was totally irrelevant. That was a fact, you know, and I had to get it thrown out into the air. I'm trying to make a point, and this is hopeless. With the CFR's membership, often are exposed to high rank, like Wesley Clark discovers that his father and his grandfather, they're all Jewish. The fact is there's a great deal of intermarriage in the CFR, and this is where the Council on Foreign Relations is a Sabbatean tool. The same people who have been running this planet and sending it to war are at it again, and they've decided that Israel goes. And if you think that the Holocaust of the Jews in the 40s could be any different than what's coming up now, you're wrong. We have got infiltration from within. The Jews are infiltrated. Their worst enemies in Israel are not the Arabs. The Arabs are too dumb to do anything serious. We're talking about Shimon Peres. We're talking about Yossi Beilin. You're talking about people who can destroy the country, give it to the Vatican, and that's what they're doing.
The Vatican now. Now, who in the Vatican
is
doing this?
What have I been saying all this time?
Who in the Vatican is doing this?
The Vatican wants Jerusalem.
Who in the Vatican is doing this? Give me a name.
Charlemagne.
Charlemagne is about 600 years ago.
It doesn't matter. You're talking about the German. You're talking about Empire, the Holy Roman Empire.
Barry, wait a minute. Who in the modern era is doing
Kaiser
this?
Kaiser Wilhelm, who put up the church.
Kaiser Wilhelm died 100 years ago. Who in the modern era is doing
mind? Are you absolutely out of your mind? Where do you think President Kassab went to the Rome last year for?
Give me a name of one of the people involved.
I just did, and you stop me again. Why do you do that?
Give me a name.
I start to give you the names, and there you go, blocking it again.
No, go ahead.
Now you be quiet for a while. This is stupid. Okay? President Kassab went to Germany, went to the Vatican last year to negotiate the end of Israeli hegemony on Mount Zion. The issue in Israel won't go away. The Vatican want Mount Zion. They want the room where they think the Christ had his Last Supper, and they want it fast. Kassab said no. Kassab is now being investigated on rape charges. So Ehud Olmert went to the Vatican not a month and a half ago, and he was told outright, we want that or you're going to become Kassab. And I got news for you. He is becoming Kassab.
No, wait. I'm still asking you for some names of
I can give you
50 names of Zionist Jews killing us.
16th is a name.
One name.
16th is a German pope. It's a name.
Who?
Kassab is a name. Peres is a name, and Olmert is a name. These are all names.
But those are Jews. I want to know about in the Catholic Church who's doing it.
Pope Benedict isn't a Jew.
Who's doing this now?
You think Pope Benedict? I just said for the 18th
Barry, who in the world right now is doing this? Who?
You really, really think that this is rational conversation?
But Barry, you're not telling me.
You, seriously.
Barry, you're not.
It's rational that I have to interrupt you every 2 seconds.
Yes, you are interrupting me. I'm asking you a simple question.
I said the name. I gave you a name.
No, I'm asking you someone alive, someone breathing today.
You know what? This is stupid. Let's just end this conversation.
Barry, you know something, Barry? I have never been in a conversation with somebody who's so obfuscating in my whole life.
Okay, fair enough. Do this. If you think Pope Benedict the 16th is, in fact...
Pope Benedict's dead!
That's fine.
He's dead!
All right, that's fair enough.
Pope Benedict is dead!
Pope Benedict is the Pope of Rome. Listen, I'm going to say it again. Pope Benedict the 16th is the Pope of Rome, and he's alive. This is stupid already.
Oh, no, this Jewish... The guy that was raised Jewish, the Jewish Pope.
Benedict the 16th is the Pope of Rome now.
Yes, and he's Jewish. He's Jewish. Barry. Well, Mr. Shamish is all over the map with these facts. And one of the things that bothers me the most about getting in conversations with people who will not solidify certain questions, I mean, I've got questions. I've always had questions about this stuff, is that he will always turn it over to a power that we know has been emasculated. What is that power? Look around you, ladies and gentlemen. Do you find Catholic priests in charge of your media? Is there a Catholic priest taking over French government and running for president? Is there a Catholic priest right now destroying the United States system through the media or other organs of power? Take a look at these things rationally. I don't know, you know, I was not going to have Barry on, but after talking to him, I couldn't believe some of the things that came out of him, especially about this, the Khazarian question. And it is a big question. History has recorded there was a mass conversion of a very large empire in the 7th century. Now, what are we to make of that? How are we to figure that white-skinned, blue-eyed people are Jewish when Jews are Semitic? They are Middle Eastern peoples. How do they become white as snow and blue-eyed if it weren't for conversion? So, these are the questions that we need to ask. Anyway, my name is Darryl Bradford Smith. Until the next time, ladies and gentlemen, be well. Bye-bye now.